Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we're at the January, February, March 22nd. Marching through another March.
I'm finding it, we talked about this last week, but I'm finding it a little more difficult to get up in the morning with this dark weather or dark skies.
Well, you have to get up early.
I get up early.
No, I know. So I said.
Yeah.
I get up around 7 or sometimes an 8.
Mm.
Sometimes and sometimes 9. And at 8, it's sunny, so I'm fine.
Mm. I find myself getting up at like kind of rustling around like 4:30, 5 o'clock. I go sit in my lazy boy. I have the best lazy boy ever. And see what's going on in the news, nod off for an hour or so, debate the whole time whether I'm going to go out for a jog, you know, wrestle in my mind. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it today. End up doing it anyway. And by the time I turn around, it's about 7:30. Have a little breakfast and get to the office about 8-ish. And so my life rotates
every day, day after day,
every single day. Well, today was a little bit different. I got up and was greeted by the news of a new terrorist hit in Belgium. What's with Belgium? And what is everything centered over there?
Oh, that's because there's always been a traditional Muslim population in Belgium, and so they took over enough of the they ended up with a strong political group. And so they encouraged more Muslims to move in, and so a bunch of sleazeballs moved in, and it's just the way it went.
So now the big thing is having these simultaneous attacks. That's the new thing, right, to kind of spook people.
Well, that's the old thing, too. That's what the Al-Qaeda was always known for.
Well, you know what they should do? I'm not trying to give anybody ideas, but if they really want to freak people out, do something in one country and another country at the same time.
That would be kind of freaky.
That would be bad. That's kind of like, no longer do you have a little grouping of people together talking in a little coffee shop somewhere like, hey, you know what we're going to do next Thursday? I think we'll blow ourselves up. You know, and they just go out and they find a place. You go that way, I'll go that way, count to 10, and then we'll go bang. Instead of that, what they should do is, that's, you know, but these, it's kind of ridiculous how the cowardliness of this whole idea of, I don't know what they're trying to prove. I've really kind of lost the whole idea of what this is all about, because if the terrorism is all about kind of breaking the back of the countries and raising attention and all that, and a lot of it used to be related to markets and things of that nature, the financial system and equities and all that, it's not working.
Yeah, the shorts didn't do very well on this one.
Nope. There was throughout the day, of course, on a day when there is terrorist activities, throughout the day you do see news rumors and blurbs. There was some kind of a rumor of a fire at Grand Central Station that kind of spooked people for about 30 seconds, and then everything came back. It almost looks like markets are designed these days to say, hey, you know what? There's a terrorist act. We're going to show those terrorists. They're not going to win.
Well, I've never been convinced that terrorists really care much about the market one way or the other. I don't know. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I caught it last night because I was up at midnight or 1, and that's when it kind of happened around midnight, I think, West Coast time. Mm-hmm. Because it was 8 in the morning in Belgium. And so I caught most of it. And then they were streaming it from France 24 as a streaming service on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting all the firsthand reports. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, nothing really going on in the news. The markets seemed very resilient today and have been over the last several days. It seems that the massive, the agreement, something maybe during the G20 meeting where there was an agreement that China wouldn't devalue their currency, at least now, and it would be global concerted effort to prop things up, has worked very nicely in the face of a very troubling backdrop. I looked today, there was a really interesting table that I found on the Market, which is is a company that provides economic data and information. And if you take a look at that table, kind of interesting. One of the things they track is PMIs, essentially manufacturing. And the global manufacturing PMI in February came in at 50.6, which is a 40-month low. The Eurozone's at a 13-month low. United States at a 28-month low. United Kingdom at 34-month low. And Japan at 10-month low. And China at a 2-month low. Because China was in bad shape to begin with, and they popped up just a little bit.
Now, is this one of those things where if the number's under 50, that means they're in decline or
that's
something?
That's correct. Now, most of these are over 50.
But China's in the worst shape from the looks of this.
Yeah, China's definitely in the worst shape. And it's interesting that the second up, the runner-up is the United States.
Yeah. Huh.
Kind of interesting. But global is at a 40-month low. Been trekking down ever so gently each and every month. And it's kind of interesting to see that, or maybe this does confirm the reasons why the central banks have been so aggressive lately. I don't know what, Japan's at 51, yeah. Now, one of the things that was in the news, remember last week we talked about how this whole crazy notion about this guy at Valiant, this guy Pearson, who was the CEO, he took a 2-month leave due to very severe pneumonia.
Yeah.
And we questioned who's got pneumonia for 2 months? I mean, you can have, well, what do you have for that? That would be something like, what is it, Epstein-Barr syndrome? What do they call that?
Epstein-Barr.
You know, there's no, what's the, what do you get there? Something from that.
I don't know. Guillain-Barré, is that what you're thinking of?
No, I had it for a month. I had the, you know, we just tired for a month and you just.
Oh, mononucleosis.
Mono, yeah. So you had mono. That's like a month-long thing, or at least it was. I remember that. But anyway, this guy was out for 2 months somehow on pneumonia. Then he comes back and he postpones the earnings and he says, well, we need a little more time to get things together. And they come out with their earnings and their outlook and it was just abysmal, just absolutely abysmal. Stock dropped like 50% or something like that, right? I guess 2, maybe 3 weeks after he came back to announce that he's leaving. He's out. And it wasn't mutually acceptable.
It's very funny.
He'll be leaving the company. He did not want to leave. He was told to leave, and he put up a fight. He didn't want to leave. He's out. Now, Ackman, who is the guy, the hedge fund manager, who has been very actively involved in supporting the company, all the way down from $280 down to about $27 or $28 per share. The guy lost umpteen hundreds of millions, if not billion and change, on this deal. He was appointed to the board. Stock was up 15% in the reaction. I always wonder how a CEO feels when he departs the company and the stock's up 15%.
Yeah, you brought this up when Ballmer quit.
Oh, that's got to feel like crap. Just got to feel like crap, you know? But you know what? At the same time, in the last couple of days, I think after he left, and that was Monday, the announcement was made. The stock was up, I think, net 10%. It was all over the place. And then today was up another 8 or 9% or so. But it would seem to me that the CEO leaving and the CFO having some difficulties and some issues internally, it seems that there's going to be some more things uncovered here. Don't you think?
Well, you'd think. Something's up, or this all wouldn't be going down the way it's going down.
Right, exactly. And we did see that other companies in the same range, Endo Pharmaceuticals, came out with a pretty bad number, similar type of company in terms of the way that they go about their business. And also Mallinckrodt is another company. Mallinckrodt has been called recently by Citron, Andrew Leff. They say that Mallinckrodt makes the situation at Valiant and all the people there, in terms of management, look like choir boys. In terms of, they do the same thing about buying companies, raising the prices up and all that. And they only have really one major stock that's about, product that's about 50% of their overall revenue, which is an unproven gel that they charge some ungodly amount of money for.
Some gel.
It's a gel called, I think, Actular.
There should be some gouging laws.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sell gasoline for whatever over the price during a hurricane, or a generator for over the price.
Yeah, no, they bust you.
But if you're going to die, they seem like they could charge you 800% more what the price should be just so you could live with these drugs. My father-in-law went.
What is the mechanism that allows the gasoline prices to be controlled by the government like that, and not these drugs?
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, no, it's outrageous.
My father-in-law went to a new doctor, and the doctor said, we're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to find out what's wrong with you. He's going on forever, some stomach issues. And gave him a prescription. My wife went in to fill the prescription. They said that will be $1,000 for the month for 30 pills.
Wow.
She said, well, maybe we need to talk to the doctor about something else. Obviously, there's no generic, and obviously the insurance company's not covering this drug. Maybe it's too new or something. But $1,000 for a 30-day supply.
It's a little high.
Anyway, we put up a VRX chart on there, the Valiant. You can take a look at that and look where it went from back in August when it was approximately $280 down today where it finished at $31.89. It did, in fact, go above the $30 number, which was something that people were watching for that resistance level. But we'll see if it has any more legs from here. You see that sharp drop that it did at the beginning, or actually in the middle of this month, after the earnings came in from about 70 down to about 30. That was ugly. And I wonder what this guy and all these other guys that are supporting the stock are thinking. You know,
I don't know.
How do they deal with this daily?
It's just too much.
Mm. Now, Nike had an interesting announcement this week. I don't know if you saw the announcement about their Back to the Future shoe or their self-tying, adjusting shoe that they have.
No, I didn't. It's funny because I went shoe shopping today.
It's not out yet.
Oh. Well, I wasn't going to buy Nike anyway. They're too expensive.
What kind of sneaker do you buy?
I buy Skechers.
You do buy a Skechers, huh?
Yeah. Well, mainly because we have a Skechers outlet just up the street. And so why would I buy? You buy a nice pair of shoes for like $30.
Right. I buy New Balance.
And they're comfortable.
Yeah, Skechers are nice. So Nike comes out with an announcement. They have this self-adjusting thing where it's kind of the laces are, they're like these fat laces. They're kind of not crisscrossed anymore. They're crossed.
Fat laces.
Yeah, they're fat. And it looks like there's a Velcro strap across the top, across your ankle. And there's like a button or something that you push and you set it. And it kind of, all of a sudden you see the laces go like, whoop.
Not like the pump?
Yeah, the pump is a little bit more manual. This is more automatic.
You push the, what's it got to gas canister built into the shoe?
I think you plug them in or something. I don't know. Something pretty bright.
Well, kidding.
Something's going on. You know, you got to walk around with a cable attached at all times to make sure you stay, you know, rightly adjusted. Take a look. There's a picture I put there, the Back to the Future shoe. They're pretty wild looking. But you see what I'm talking about those laces? They're like these elastic bands or something. They almost look like ribs.
They're big.
Yeah, they're very big. And
it's a dorky looking shoe.
It looks like
it goes
up to your kneecap. Maybe there's a battery in here. There's got to be something that does it. Got to be some kind of electro. Maybe there's a lithium ion battery in there on the bottom. See the bottom part? It looks like double D's.
That's what it looks like. These are the kind of shoes that get stolen.
No kidding. Right off your feet, by the way, if you're in the wrong town. Yeah. but you know what's really interesting? Michael J. Fox is displaying these at a variety of places. Because if you think about it, for certain people with certain disabilities that can't tie their shoes, this is a godsend. You ever try to tie your shoe with one hand?
I wear mostly loafers.
Oh, well. But you have sneakers. You went to Skechers.
No, you
have to tie
those.
You cannot
tie your shoe with one hand that I can figure out.
No. There are special ways to do it. There's actually a really cool book. It's let's see what it's called here. Living in a One-Handed World, I think it's called. And I know about this because my daughter only has one operation. One of my daughters has one hand that works.
Oh, her other hand doesn't work?
No. She has a condition. It's like cerebral palsy. Huh. She has what's called a hemiparesis. One side of her body doesn't really work well. The muscles and all that, it's kind of spasms a bit. And she can't tie her shoe. So, you know, we've done things like gotten various elastic things and, you know, shoes that have kind of like pull ties. You just pull them once and you kind of snug them up. But you can grab them with one hand just and tie it that way. And they're kind of elastic. But this would be great for people with disabilities.
I guess. I mean, I'm looking at the shoe and I don't even know how you get them on.
Yeah, no, a very significant shoehorn. Kind of Vaseline up your feet and put them in there or something like that.
There's plenty of shoes out there that use Velcro straps. Yeah,
God forbid you got to take these off at the airport.
Oh, yeah, these things?
How is that going to get through the metal detectors? Anyway, yeah. So I thought it was interesting because a lot of times when you see these kinds of announcements so close to an earnings release, you have to scratch your head and say, oh, that's interesting. They come out with a big announcement of something right up until the earnings release. And Nike has been very consistent lately and over the last however long in providing some really good numbers in terms of their earnings and, more importantly, the information about their backlog and orders that are pending. They always have these future orders. That's a big thing with Nike, future orders. Nike came out with earnings tonight. They did beat on earnings, 55 cents versus 48, light on revenue. Now, the future orders, there was some hubbubaloo about constant currency, and you go through that whole thing. Nike's orders in the future orders came in at 12% and 17% in constant currency terms, whatever the heck that means, versus an estimate of mid to high teens. So mid to high teens would be, what, 15 to 18, we'll call it. On an X,
that would be mid to high.
Right, on an X financial basis. So they came in at 12. Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at it on a breakdown of country by country, we're seeing that North America was up 10%. Western Europe was up 16%. Again, this is without the constant currency thing going on. If you add, I think it's China and Europe. Yeah, at 5%. China was up 28%. Japan up 23%. Emerging markets were down 3%, which was kind of interesting. I guess that goes.
That is interesting. It's also interesting to me that the Chinese are buying that much when they can get the bootleg version of almost anything for a lot less money, unless it's also owned by the same company, which I think happens, by the way.
Well, it may be, but China is all about the Nike. Don't forget, they're all about the brand.
Yeah, they're brand nuts.
Yep.
Somehow, I don't even know how that happened. How do you go from being a communist country with no protection for copyrights or trademarks to being brand nuts?
Yeah,
how does that work? How do you go from being, I mean, because you had to be raised in a situation where that was all considered bad.
Well, I think they have their personalities are communist, but their purchases are capitalistic.
I think their purchases and everything else they do is actually Chinese.
Oh.
Because they have a culture that just, it's not something you can just change. Confucianism and all the rest of it, I think it lends itself to this bastardized version of capitalism, but I think it also lends itself to some of these marketing effects.
I mean, it wasn't like Confucius said, your days will be long, your days will be wonderful. All you need is a pair of beautiful sneakers.
I have a little book called Confucius Says.
Is that in there?
No.
You think that's
It's mostly lewd gags.
Oh.
This book used to be sold in the San Francisco Fisherman's Warfare. I haven't seen it for a while. I think I may reprint it myself.
And bring it up to date.
Yeah, I can add some material to it. It's a good idea.
But one of the things, let me just finish up on Nike for a second. So the note was that in their conference call, which really hurt their stock. By the way, the stock was down about 5.5% to 6% in after hours, which is a lot for Nike. That should weigh on the Dow and a couple of the large cap indices tomorrow. Sales will increase by high single digit percentages during the next fiscal year, they said on this conference call. Analysts had projected a rate of about 10% for the period. Earnings will rise in the low teens compared to an estimate of growth of about 15%. That's not exactly robust. So there's clearly...
I don't even know how they do as well as they do.
I mean, I buy a pair of shoes and it lasts me forever. When's the last time you bought a new pair because your old pair had holes in them?
That's what I do.
I mean,
the reason I went to buy some shoes is because I have an old pair of Skechers. Of course, these things Skechers never makes the same design twice. So I would have gotten another pair of these because they're so comfortable. They're kind of like a combination of hiking, and they I looked, they were laying on the floor, and one was turned over, and it's wearing out. And it was one of the two. The other shoe looks fine, but this one shoe looks like all the rubber's been ground
down. Just one of them?
Yeah, just one of them.
Hmm. Is it your right foot?
I don't remember. I think it's the left foot. Hmm. But it's a noticeable different wear pattern, which makes me think that they were I don't think they're made with the same materials.
You know what the shoe companies need to do? They need to do what the automobile industry has done. You know, the automobile industry has made it very affordable for anybody to buy a BMW these days, right? They're floating around everywhere, or Maserati even, because they've extended the term on the car loan and had very low interest rates. I think sneaker financing should be something that we start thinking about. You know, you have these, I mean, they're not cheap, some of these shoes. They're like $200, $300. Yeah. Just sneaker financing. You have maybe a 2-year, it's kind of like, you know, a layaway kind of thing, but you get to wear them now. You have like a 2-year deal on your sneakers. You pay, you know, $14 a month, and you own them at the end, or maybe even a lease deal. Yeah, you lease your sneakers.
Yeah, then what? Well, actually, there's a guy that I think this thing is still in business. There's a guy who was on one of these talk shows, and he had started a sneaker exchange for people that were actually collect. It's for collectors.
Oh yes, that I've heard about.
And yeah, and he showed some of the shoes, and there was a pair of these things that were worth $5,000.
Yeah, some I know, like some I know people that do that.
Jordans or something.
I know people that do. Yeah, they buy all the new, you know, whatever comes out, they buy. It's kind of like baseball cards.
You know, exactly.
You buy these kind of things and you exchange them around, or better said, it's going to be like Beanie Babies. That's what it's going to be like. I mean, one day,
well, people would wake up. Something I would think, yes, I think that would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because it's dumb.
It'll wake up and be like, oh man, look at all these wonderful things. This is like $100,000 worth of sneakers. And then, you know, they're going to come out with the realization that, well, maybe they're not worth that much.
They're just used shoes.
Just used shoes. All right, let's see here. Oh, now this is an interesting story. This is an interesting quandary, actually. So one of the problems we had in the first quarter of this year, and this is very similar to other times every quarter, actually, is that there are these blackout periods, these times when companies can no longer buy their shares through discretionary purchases of their share buyback programs because they're going to be entering their earnings season. It's kind of like a quiet period. So what happens is that as we have seen the massive amount of buybacks that have been going on, the debt financing that has gone on to provide for this buybacks, and companies left and right have, you know, billions of dollars worth of buyback programs out there. What happens is during these blackout periods, if we see that individuals, retail, maybe some institutions have not really been buying. As a matter of fact, the statistics show that there have been net sale and sellers of equities this year. And all of a sudden we saw that major rally happen just the last 4 weeks, let's say. Well, there is some research that is showing that a lot of that is due to the fact that the quiet periods ended, the blackout periods ended, and companies went and just started buying their shares back, you know, kind of en masse. Well, we're about to enter that blackout period again. It's already starting, slowly but surely, as companies get closer and closer to their earnings date, we're going to see that less and less companies can do share buybacks. So what's going to be happening is as the month goes on, I think another 2 weeks or so, I think it's 2 weeks or so, maybe 3 weeks. Alcoa is going to be the first that officially announces the, you know, kind of start of the earnings season. And we're going to see that less and less money is flowing into the markets due to share buyback programs. And if, in fact, institutional investors on the and in retail are not actually net buyers of stocks, the potential for increased volatility and much lower levels of buying interest are going to step in. We're going to have to watch this. It's going to be kind of interesting to see if this is going to happen.
That's interesting.
So we'll see if we start seeing, let's see, this is the third week of April where April is where earnings season kicks right in. So probably we would say that, well, we'll give this week a buy due to the holiday, et cetera. By the way, the stock markets close Friday for Good Friday.
That's right.
Coming up. And I would tomorrow's
say that. Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
Are you going to do the ashing?
I never do that.
No?
I did that when I was in high school.
I'm not privy to this exactly. I smoke cigars, so you take a little ash in the morning or something?
You could do that.
You can.
You wouldn't know the difference.
It's kind of like
when they have Palm Sunday. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
this is what I remember. I don't practice any of this. But there was Palm Sunday, and they would do some rigmarole of hocus pocus, and they'd burn these palm fronds or palm stick. I don't know what they did. Something that was palmy, and they burned it. Then they took the ashes, and then on Ash Wednesday, which was the, for some purpose, they put the ashes in the form, supposedly as a cross, that the with the priest, you'd be lined up, and they'd put a cross on your forehead. And although when I was a kid, I don't remember it ever being a cross. I always thought it was just a plain, just a smudge. And everyone, like half the kids were Catholics because the town I grew up in was a Portuguese-dominated town.
Hmm.
Newark, California. I always thought they were just, I didn't really know what a Portuguese was. I thought they were Mexicans. I'm not sure. But it was, all the names
were different. They spoke Spanish. They're all Mexicans.
Nobody spoke Portuguese. It just was, it was strange. But they were great kids, and they everyone was Catholic because it's a Catholic ethnic group. And so they, but it was just smudges, and I couldn't figure out what the point of that was. Then there's something on Thursday called something Thursday, and I forgot that. And then there's Good Friday, and Good Friday is a holiday only because they can't make Easter Sunday a holiday, which I guess follows that. And there's something on Saturday, too. All these days have a name. It's like a whole rigmarole. I feel bad I don't remember what the Thursday thing was. Not to look it up. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
but yes, I got to smudge.
But you, and you put it on, and that is, it tells everybody, hey, I'm a good Christian or whatever it is. I did my thing.
Catholic. Totally. Catholic.
Did my Catholic. Catholic. This is like in, what was I in? Was I in Vietnam or was I in Cambodia? I think I was in, I was in Bali, Indonesia. That's where it was, Bali. Every morning they worship essentially the rice because that's their base food source. And it's a very important to show. So you do your morning prayers or you do your prayer and you stick rice on your forehead. You just shove rice, like you press it in really good. And I guess you wet it a little bit. You press it in, you put it like kind of on a couple different places. I think by your ears or something. Anyway, it's rice stuck to your head. And I guess they get really good at, you would think that rice would fall off your head during the day, right? Well, some of these people had rice on their head all day long. It's pretty amazing.
I think if we think about that for a second, if the rice is moistened, it would form a glue.
Yeah. Mine fell off. It kind of goes every once in a while something would pop off my head. Yeah, put like three or four grains on there, but you know, you'd be like, what's going on there? But I did it at it was fun. Nice fun day. So anyway, yeah, the markets are closed and we'll see what how that's going to play out in the next few weeks in terms of how liquidity is going to dry up. Already yesterday, we saw one of the lowest volume days of the year. That was yesterday, Monday. Oh. But for no reason in particular why it was such a low volume. Today was pretty low volume as well. Okay. You want to, hey, by the way, did you see the picture of the shirts?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you ask me that earlier in the show?
No, I did not.
Oh.
I asked you before the show.
Ah, okay. Oh, okay. You're right.
So we had this design by Jimbo from Florida. We have some giveaways for the Close to the Pin competition. And I put a little picture of myself there with a shirt and sporting some of the sunglasses that we're giving away from Spitfire. Got some Spitfire sunglasses.
Yeah, I think it looked very cool in that shirt. That shirt is very well done.
I think it's kind of, it could make a fashion statement.
Fascist, you said?
Well, that too, maybe, but fashion, yeah.
Yeah, fashion statement.
I mean, this is going to be all the rage in China.
It could be. Yeah. They'll be knocking it off.
Anyway, so we have this Close to the Pin competition each and every week. We have a different stock that we announce. And right now we have the final and the winner of the official first, kind of the official first, Close to the Pin competition. And that was for Tesla. And do you know who the winner was?
Chirag G.
That would be the case, except for the fact that you beat him big time.
Yeah, I did. I nailed it.
You were 30 on Tesla stock that moves all over the place. I mean, Chirag was about 1% off, $2 off. Okay, the final price on Tesla was $226.38. The average guess was about $205. Okay, and he had $224. You had $226, 38 cents off, 0.17%.
I didn't know that you were supposed to put the pennies in there. I was just going for the full dollar amount.
Oh.
I probably would have picked like 42 cents. I still would have missed it. 38 is not one of my normals. But yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, I nailed it.
That was pretty good.
For all practical purposes, I hit it right on the money.
Yeah, so you're not going to get a prize, though.
No.
So congratulations to Chirag, and we will send you something. Now, one of the things we're going to run into is we're not sending stuff overseas. Let's just get that straight. That's not happening.
That's too much of a hassle.
Too much of a hassle. So if you are not in the U.S. where you have a U.S. mailing address and zip code, you know, in the continental U.S. or I guess anywhere in the U.S. where you can't put the normal set of stamps and envelope kind of thing on there, we'll figure out something else. So
yeah, we'll figure something out.
We'll see. Now coming up,
ways of doing it.
We have Ford that is currently running. U.S. Steel is also announced. Actually, Ford is the current one that's running U.S. Steel. And Michael Kors is the next one. I thought we'd have a decent and relatively volatile retail name in there. So Michael Kors will be in there. Now, all you have to do is go over to DH Unplugged and find the closest to the pin competition. It's all over the site. You can find it. And you just have to go there and just make a guess. Just make a guess of what the price will be on the closing date. So that's all listed there. All the rules and regulations and things like that are on there. So that's kind of cool. And if you want to see my really kind of cool old picture with the shirt, go over to DH Unplugged, check on the show notes of this particular episode. And there's a picture of me sporting those sunglasses and the DH Unplugged shirt. It's kind of a thin picture of me. I like it. I'm looking
at
it.
Yeah, it looks like you messed with, used Photoshop to lose 20 pounds.
I didn't. It's one of those. You know the trick, by the way. Here's the trick. So I go to these events with my wife, and we do a lot of black tie stuff and charitable stuff and all that. And all these people all of a sudden started taking these pictures from overhead, kind of, right? Yeah. They take the iPhone or the phone, and they're like, they say, can you take a picture of us? I'm like, okay, sure. Take a picture. No. You have to put it up high. Put the phone up high.
Yeah, I've seen this. This started some time ago. It has to be above the nose level,
right.
Always looking down a little bit. Otherwise, you look like a ghoul or a two-car garage or whatever.
Right. And it gives you that, it kind of thins you out. So everybody's been always the holy grail would be, oh, because somebody find a camera that would make me look thin. Well, the iPhone did it. There you go. Talking about the iPhone, Apple News, did you follow that whole news conference this week?
Yeah, they got a new iPhone. Wow.
So now they're going back to, which it seems that Apple's innovation is now all surrounding the dimensions of their products.
Yeah, they went back to a small phone, which is actually a better, from my experience, a small phone that size is a much better experience.
I just stretched out my hand so my thumb can reach everywhere around this iPhone 6. Because the iPhone 4 was so easy. It was just right there, everything. Kind of, I finally learned how to hold the phone one hand and text and all that with one finger, stretched, and I can somewhat reach everything. Now they're coming out with an iPhone 4 at a lower price point, by the way, starting at about $399, starting to ship on the 31st.
Still too high.
Yeah, they're going to have the A9 64-bit A9 chip, which is going to be the same one that's in the iPhone 6S and 6X Plus. And much faster GPU, et cetera, compared to the iPhone 5S. And it's going to have a hands-free Siri, which I have no idea what that means. They're also crowing about improved battery life. Now, I found this kind of interesting. Like, oh, wow, improved battery life. How'd they do that? Well, they made the screen that much smaller. That sucks up
the screen chews up most of the battery.
Yeah. So they're kind of crowing about the battery. If they make it even smaller, it'll do even better on the battery life, I'm sure. But a hands-free Siri, what do you think that means? I mean, like...
Isn't Siri hands-free anyway?
I guess you got to push a button and Siri comes up.
Can't you say, hello, Siri?
No.
Or is that Google?
That's Google.
Hello, Google.
Yeah. You say, okay, Google.
So they just
okay.
did what Google did. So it's hell, you'd say something to it. Or say, Siri.
Yeah. Siri, hello. Hands-free Siri. Siri, wake up.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you did have to push the thing.
And Apple's also unveiling new bands for their Apple Watch.
Oh, well, let me write this down. I need to know this.
Yeah,
it's so important.
This is important. And they have the Apple Watch is now selling at $299 from $399. So they dropped their price on the Apple Watch. That's $100, by the way. And that's a lot of money compared. I mean, think about that percentage-wise. From $400 down to $300.
Yes, it's like dropping to 25%.
That's large. That's a massive move. Now, why are they doing this? Now, some of the discussion is that, well, they're trying to get the emerging markets because, you know, if you have a lower price point, possibly the emerging markets will, you know, devour this. The problem is the emerging markets are all about those gigantic tabletop phones that Samsung has. You've seen those things?
No.
You know, the Samsung Galaxy, like whatever it's called, is this gigantic phone. And Apple came out with their large iPhone S Plus due to the fact that they were competing with...
You mean you're talking about like the Samsung, something like the Note?
Yeah, those big ones.
Yeah, those big giant things.
Yeah.
You ever see anybody carry one of those around? It's idiotic.
Right. It's a chiropractor's dream. Anyway, so now they're going smaller, lower price. The market didn't react. It's kind of like just shrugged it off. They didn't know what to think about it. Tim Cook was up there just talking in pretty significant tone about how they are not going to give in to the feds about unlocking the phone, which was kind of interesting. Just hours after that, the Fed says, you know what? We're going to cancel that Justice Department trial or whatever we have going on with Apple. We found another way in.
They always had that.
So what was the point?
I think they were hoping to bluff. It was a bluff. Blind man's bluff. They were trying to bluff Apple into giving him some sort of codes.
But if they had it already, what was the point?
Because probably Apple may have something that really unlocks everything easily or much easier. Or who knows? Hmm. But whatever the case was, they played blind bluff. You know, it was a bluff, and Apple called their bluff, and it was that they didn't want to. And also, if they already had it and they were going to put Apple through this rigmarole, I think they could have been sued.
Let me ask you something. Let's suppose just for a moment you are a criminal type. You're a terrorist. You're just something. You're an unsavory fellow. And for whatever reason, you feel compelled that you are going to use your phone to type somebody a note like, oh, let's go blow up this mall later today. Okay? And you send it to me. And I get it. And I write you back. Oh, I'm busy today. How about we do it tomorrow at 2:30? Whatever, okay? You follow
me?
Yeah. All right. And, all right, we're doing this because we're stupid, obviously, and you know, whatever. And, you know, because we believe also that there is encryption, and we believe that there is no way for the, you know, we're thinking that the good guys have this great encryption, and, you know, we're obviously not going to have a problem due to privacy rules and all this stuff. Okay. Now, if the government is going to look at phones and hack them so they could find out the information, why would they make such a case about it to broadcast around the world that they're doing this, which will then have you and I, the stupid criminals, not doing this anymore?
Well, the guys in France that did the Paris attack, they found their phones, at least a couple of them, and they just had stuff written in code, which is the way the mafia is always operating. Instead of you or one of us saying, let's go blow up the mall, you'd say something like, the wet bird makes poop. And then you return with a message, it cost a dollar.
Right. Which means we're going to blow up the dollar store.
Or the mall. Or, right. Yeah, the cheap mall.
Right.
And that's the way that works. And so I don't know. I don't know what the... But this is a big bunch of theater to me.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole thing. But Apple also announced the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. Current one is 12.9. So again, they went smaller again. And they went in between sizes, you know, so now they have all these different sizes and all that of the same exact product, which I don't know. Now it's going to take, I don't know about you, when there was one thing, you just go, you want it, you buy it, you're done. Now yeah. I got to start deciding, do I want the big one? Do I want the small one?
Not buy any of them because it's just too many choices.
I'm paralyzed with choices. I can't do it. So... They announced also Reacher.
They sold the most when they only had one to choose
exactly.
from.
Exactly. This is what you will get. This is what you will have. Thank you. Now, they also announced iOS 9.3, and one of the big features was, now wait for it here, a light and dark mode where at night it will automatically change the hue ever so slightly of the background light from a bright white, you know, a... It kind of went to an incandescent color. So during the daytime, you have almost an LED white, if you know what I'm saying, right? Bright white, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
And now it kind of just goes to almost a yellowish
hue. Yeah, it's like going from 5,200 Kelvin down to 35 or something like that.
Right.
So you go from daylight to tungsten.
So I did that. Looks like crap.
Oh, it does?
I did it last night. I'm like, why I'll just make it less light if I want to. This is changing the colors of all the apps and things like that.
It makes it yellowy.
Yeah, what do I want that for? Kind of step back in time. Stupid.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then they had some enhancement for notes, which I couldn't figure out what the enhancement was, but maybe there's something there. They also announced a care kit available in April, which is about this healthcare thing, and some advancements in research kit, which kind of looks like a cool program for those that use that or system. But the bottom line is nothing new here that it all tips the scale in anybody's favor in any direction. And in addition to that, you would have to think that the cheaper prices are going to bring down overall revenue, unless this is some massive amount of selling going on.
I agree with that, because I don't see myself, for example, or anyone I know going, the phone's cheaper. Let's go get one.
Yeah. Let's get a smaller one. I want a smaller 4-inch. That's a small model compared to the current one. I mean, the 5 was probably the best size.
The 5 may have been the best one, period.
Yeah.
Except for the camera. Well, even the camera was good in the 5. It's a good product.
Mm-hmm. Now, just finishing off a round on technology here for a second. I've been thinking about Twitter. Because have you been using the platform at all? They've even introduced now you can do a much better video use. You put GIFs on there. There's a lot of little enhancements that they've done recently that are making it much more like a hybrid Instagram / short, you know, a much better communication.
Well, they've had the photo add-on.
Yeah, the photo was there.
And the animated GIFs are just photos, so it's fine. But they have, what you're talking about is the little movies and stuff.
Yeah, like that's cool.
Yeah, I try using that movie thing. It doesn't take half the movies. It's really limited to what it'll accept.
Yeah, because it has to be small size.
Well, no, that's not just it, because I made it as small as possible. And it was definitely small enough, and it just, we don't like this format.
Mm. That's too bad.
So I gave up on it.
Okay. I've been thinking about it. Stock is just going absolutely nowhere, though. It's kind of pathetic. All right, interesting news. You know,
By the way, when we were on Twitter, it seems as though somebody has some insight to the next board meeting where they're going to cut loose the 144 character limit.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because I heard just recently they're keeping it.
Well, there you go. Let's see what happens.
Hmm. If they change from 140 to, let's call it 250, let's just say, that would be, I could almost live with that. But if they do like a 5,000, that's going to be ruinous.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think they should change it at all, because I think part of the charm of the thing is you got only so much time to say something and then just, you know, forget it.
Yeah, create a new language.
They never did that. That's kind of interesting, because that did happen with text messaging on phones. Teenagers have all the kinds of little things they added.
But we do. We do on Twitter. You have things like, it's the same kind of thing. You have abbreviations for words. You know, you have to, I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, when I do something on Twitter, I'm very careful about, okay, what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? And you have to then do a little bit of wordsmithing to come up with
something. Yeah, but that's not the same as using code, you know. It's crazy codes that were in the early days of text messaging.
Yeah, my kids, they would write me and I'd write something back to them. They'd call me up hysterical. They said, Dad, why did you put a period at the end of that sentence? I'm like, I don't know, because sentences have periods at the end of the sentence. But that means you're mad at me. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Why did you put a capital letter? I'm like, I don't know. I started the sentence, a new sentence. I put a capital letter. Oh, because I thought you were saying something else. I'm like, what could I possibly be saying?
Oh, God.
So I wrote all my kids. I'm like, listen, ignore all my punctuations, because there's probably no way I'm going to stop doing them. So anything that I use, if I do like a dot, 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 don't think that I'm cutting you off or something. You know, it's just like more information. Or if I put a question mark, I'm not saying, are you stupid? Or whatever the thing that they have with these, you know. So my son has sometimes asked me, hey, Dad, I want to write this person something, and I just want to make sure it looks okay. I'm like, okay. He has like a punctuation in there. I'm like, oh, what does that mean? He's, oh, that means, you know, when you didn't show up last night, I was upset about something. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know what you're actually saying here then. Can you explain what you're trying to say to me? And he has to go through this whole thing about what he really means that he's saying, that, you know, all these little innuendos and all these other things because of punctuation and capital letters and spaces.
Well, then there's the emojis.
Oh, yeah. The emojis.
I just string them random emojis together. And somebody said, hey, you're right.
There are people that do that, that you come up with some cool emojis that do things. And now everybody's got these bitmojis. Oh, my God. The most annoying thing in the whole world are these bitmojis.
I don't know what a bitmoji is.
Oh, thank God for you that you don't know. So there's an app, I guess, that you can make an emoji, or you can make this bitmoji in your image. So let's say you wear glasses, you have a mustache, you have brown hair, you're a man. You know, maybe you're a businessman, you wear suits, so you can kind of like make this caricature of yourself kind of thing.
Oh, this is, you used to be able to do this, and you can still do this with the Nintendo Wii.
Right, same thing, okay?
Yeah, you make a little character that looks like you.
Yeah, so you have a little character that looks like you, okay? And then there's like a whole series of like sayings like, yeehaw, good for you, go for you, you know, oh, what a bad day, oh, I'm upset, happy birthday, billions of these things, okay? So now no longer just people, they seem to get accustomed now to just sending you a bitmoji to communicate with you. They don't say anything. They just send that to you. I'm like, is that how this is going to go? And they'll be like, I'll be like, is that how it's going to go? You're just going to send me these things? I don't understand. Then they send me one with a sorry. You know, I'm like, oh my God. It's like, that's the communication. It's just somebody, you know, with these memes just going around with the writings across their picture. So annoying. I think it's calming down, though, a little bit.
No.
I got a few for my birthday, but it's calming down a little bit. It was a little bit, like, out of control for a little while there where everybody was doing it. They're like, where's your Bitmoji? Let me make you a Bitmoji. I'm like, no, do not put that on my phone. I don't want that. I'll say what I mean with periods and exclamation points. Exclamation point was really bad, by the way.
Crazy.
That was like an FU. All right, now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, here's a interesting news, at least from a financial geek sense, I guess. You know this company, Sun Edison? This is another company that dropped from, you know, glory days and hedge fund hotel, and everybody loved them, to just $1.60 today or something like that. Okay. I thought it was interesting at $7. Now it's $1.60. And this
must
is a company
be more interesting.
Yeah, I guess. This company is a solar related company, and they put together and kind of did a lot of roll-ups.
I always thought the name was so creative, Sun Edison. Don't you think?
Yeah, I guess. Like Edison Electric with Sun. Sun Ed, Con Ed.
Sun Ed.
Yeah, Sun Ed. So this company has been having some problems. A lot of it has to do with the fact that their accounting was just, it was kind of like, I'm not saying they're an Enron, but they're accounting because they had so many different companies that rolled up, and it was very difficult to get a handle on what this company was doing. And when some hard times hit and they didn't get some deals and some financing and other things like that, things just went to hell in a handbasket quickly. Now, the stock was about, we'll call it even on the day today. When this news rumor started coming out, I saw the stock start ticking down. And one of the sources that I look at was coming up with, like, you know, we're not sure, we're looking around, what's the deal? So what it turns out was the rumor, I really never had any experience with this before, was that the company is looking into something called debtor in possession financing. Have you ever heard of this?
No. What is it?
So I looked this up. I'm like, what the hell? And the stock is ticking down. It's down like 12%, 14%, 15%. So this is a tactic. This is called debtor in possession financing. It's a tactic that's used by companies that are distressed or possibly bankrupt, okay, that need financing. Now, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing with your financing if you're bankrupt, but I could tell you right now that if you're a bankrupt company and you came to me looking for financing, I'm probably going to say, probably not. Okay. What they do is they go after this financing. Here's the kicker. This is fascinating. The debt, this debtor in possession financing, comes ahead of all other debt, equity, and other assets that can be claimed. So the senior financing that maybe you're in a bankruptcy, or maybe you're in a distressed situation and your bonds are worth crap, but you got senior and you got maybe, you know, some other different tranches of bonds that are out there that maybe, you know, like the first person that will collect is the senior debt holders, and collateral debt holders and various debentures and things like that. And then you have the next level and next level. And then you maybe have some revolving loans out there or something like that that comes after that. And then you have the preferred stocks and you have the equity, the whole capital structure. Okay. So you have all this and you got maybe these companies, these people have lent you all this money and all that. And they're just sitting on the sidelines going, oh man, I hope they get out of their mess here because they're heading towards bankruptcy, let's say. Then the company comes out with this. They're going to do debtor in possession financing, which is, again, ahead of all the other guys. So if
yeah,
they have
to look, this is a common trick in Silicon Valley. I have never heard of what it was called.
Oh, this is fantastic.
So you're the guy that gets the first shot at everything. You come in last.
You come in last. And you. So anyway, what that tells us now, if you read not between the lines, but you read the lines, is things are not so good. They obviously can't get any financing for anything that they need right now, even though I think it was Goldman, a few other guys came with a few $100 million recently. Stock was down about 32% as this was digested through the day. It was a slow bleed through the whole day, just a slow bleed. Because obviously you're there and you own the stock and you're thinking, all right, worst comes to worst, the breakup value is a couple of bucks. Maybe I'll get $2 out of this thing and just a dollar, even though they may wash this out and maybe... But, you know, now you're like, wait a minute. They're going to get this debtor in possession financing? I'm never going to get my money out of this.
You're never going to get your money.
Never going to get my money.
You're done.
Yep. So I thought it was kind of interesting that...
First thing you should do is dump the stock.
Yeah, the stock is done. I mean, if they're looking for this kind of situation, they just put somebody... You're the last on the list anyway. And now you got somebody else ahead of you. But, you know, I think it's kind of fascinating. Like, how is this legal? I mean, just from a, if you think about it for a second, you have all these people that go in there with good faith. They're the first in line. This is the deal they did. This is the covenants. These are the, you know, corporate bylaws and the whole deal and the deal that you cut with.
Well, it's
the
like, company. I think it's one of those things where you tell, you have preferred shareholders that say they get screwed in this. You say, well, here's the deal. We're either going to do this deal to get this preferred debt financing, whatever right. It's called.
Right.
Or we're going to declare bankruptcy and you're getting nothing.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
It's equivalent of owning a home and having, you know, a first mortgage with a bank and no, you know, your loan to value is kind of maxed out and you lose your job and you can't pay your bills. And you say to somebody, you know what, listen, here's a deal to the bank. I need more money. The bank says, sorry. You say, well, I'm going to go out and get some more money. Well, sorry, we're going to take back. Well, here's a deal. I'm going to not be able to pay my bills. You're going to be sitting on a foreclosure on this house. I'm going to go out and get a loan, but you're going to come second after the deal. You're going to have to agree with that. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be great if you could do that, but yeah. The banks just as soon take the house and right. Take the beating.
Exactly. Now, another stock in the news, Lumber Liquidators, seem to have this I don't even understand. Stock was up 14% today as after the company announced an agreement with the California Air Resource Board where they fully resolved the previous inquiries into the laminate floor products from China.
Yeah.
And as part of the agreement, they are paying a whopping $2.5 million and will implement voluntary compliance procedures, not mandatory, voluntary compliance procedures to ensure that all its flooring products comply with their formaldehyde standards. Now, didn't we just talk about a story how the CARB board miscalculated the amount of formaldehyde that was there and the carcinogens that were in the floor because they did meters to feet and it was like three times more than expected. And the only fine they get is $2.5
million? It's baffling to me, too.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now, that's just California. So maybe California is saying, you know what? Company's in bad shape. There's going to be a lot more lawsuits. Let me just take some money and get the hell out of here. Maybe. I don't know. But the stock is up 14%. I just find that amazing.
I don't know. That could, actually, what you just described is possible with some of these agencies.
Yeah, just take the money and we just book it as a profit. Okay. A couple of interesting stories. Cuba is now gaining the opportunity to have travelers more frequently, especially for the United States. Carnival Cruise Lines announced that they want approval to sail to Cuba.
I would like to get over to Cuba before they open up all the airlines and the American tourists ruin the place.
Yeah, totally ruin it. But and you know what? You can take more pictures. I don't know where you thought of this. What a great, I think it's Twitter series on forgotten cars.
They're all over in Cuba.
If you have not been tracking the real Dvorak on Twitter, you're missing something here. He has been posting the most bizarre cars that you've ever seen in your life, that you've probably never seen in your life or heard of in your life. The last one, that three-wheeler, what, that was the ugliest thing ever.
I thought it was cute.
Oh, it was like a Minion car or something like that. It was so horrible. But with a little front light, was that German car? Where was that from?
Yeah, no, a lot of the craziest cars ever made were made in, and they went into production. And the only cars I use are the ones that went into production, unless it was an experimental car that went into a small production. I'll use that too, but I don't do customs. This car was in production, and most of the crazy looking cars came out of Germany from about 1953 to about 1960. Mm.
Great series. And you can just follow him on Twitter. He puts a picture up there and some cool stuff. Anyway, so yeah, Cuba's opening. We should probably do like a DH Unplugged cruise and have our listeners pay for, you know.
That's not a bad idea if we wanted to spend a bunch of time on a boat.
Well, you know what? It's 90 miles.
Oh, I guess it would be a short cruise Miami.
Yeah, you get on the boat, you drink up, and by the time you turn around, you're there.
That's not maybe. That might work. It's short enough that I think I could tolerate it.
Yeah, it's got to be a weekend thing. That's it.
Probably be.
Although it's on Carnival, which is, ugh.
I'm sure they'll have some cruises going over there, are they?
Yeah, eventually, I guess.
Look at the prices.
Yep. A couple other things before we get to the stocks here. This is interesting. In Kazakh officials and their visitors will now have to leave their smartphones at the door of government buildings starting on March 24th, in line with a new policy aimed at preventing leaks of sensitive documents and sensitive information leaks. Mm. It was presented in a leaked document last Thursday. Seriously.
That's interesting.
Minnesota officials seized a license plate that read FMUSLMS.
FMUSLMS.
Yes.
Some useless.
F Muslims.
Ah. That's
funny. And they apologized for issuing the plate at the driver's request, and they're going to put under review their procedures for vanity plates. And finally, on a sad note, Elon Musk is getting divorced for his second time.
Oh yeah, this is going to be a never ending. This is going to go on forever.
From his same wife.
He married the one girl that was the model, and then he married the super model. He's getting divorced from her.
Yeah. He was married to her twice.
No. Wasn't there another? Did he marry? No, there was somebody in between then.
It may have. Let me look this up.
Elon, I don't think this is right what you're saying.
My understanding is he. Let's see. This is Talua Riley. They're making another attempt to end their second marriage. They're married twice.
Okay, so he married the girl in between. So this is his third divorce.
His third divorce from two wives.
God.
Oh, it doesn't matter if you have money and brains, it seems, and electric cars and rocket ships. Well, let's get over to the stocks. This is a game that we play. Of course, you could follow it on dhunplug.com. Check out the weekly stock picks. Each and every week, we try to come up with something. I've been a little bit dry. A lot of our stocks have stopped out. We'll talk about the winners here, which John C. Dvorak is all over it, green as can be. But it is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It is not at all intended to give you advice. As a matter of fact, please don't take our advice unless you go and look at this and research it yourself in a very complete manner with a financial professional. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own the securities mentioned, and we will duly disclose that on this sheet. So you can go and find that on DH Unplugged. So we finally got stopped out on the high yield bonds.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah, that was gotten forever from 9/9/2015. So talking about 6 months for a 5% gain, nothing major, but but it came back 10%. That's the point there, right? Because we have a 10% stop on it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the stocks that are on the list, because everything else was either stopped out or for a gain or a slight loss, everything else is yours. You got Deutsche Bank up 15.6%. You got Southwest Airlines up 19%. China BAK Battery, which somebody wrote me and said, oh, thank you for that one. That was great. I guess people are listening. By the way, I've gotten several emails recently, several, about people telling us how very funny we are, how comedic it is. Matter of fact, the last email I received from someone told me they had to stop listening to us while they were on the treadmill at the gym because they laughed so hard that they were hurting themselves.
I don't think we had that. I don't think we're that funny.
I think there's a little bit of humor here and there, but it's not designed to be. There's some funny things, but I don't think it's. And I can think of a few things that were kind of really pretty funny that just happened in the course of our discussions. But it's not like we're under the comedy category.
Yeah.
You know. But the same thing. Listen, with you and with Adam Curry as well, people say you're hysterical.
Well, we try to be actually funny on that show.
Oh, well, maybe that's the difference.
I mean, that we don't try. We don't do shtick.
Yeah,
and we don't do prepared gags or we once in a while do a bit, and we'll drop into some sort of performance art bit where we pretend to be two different people and go through a sketch. Occasionally, it's funny, not all the time.
Yeah,
but we don't do it constantly because real comedy, you know, if you're really a comedian, you're just trying to, you have to be funny all the time. It's better to be funny once in a while than they don't expect too much.
Yep. So we are, right. Do apologize.
You've
for
got that. A couple of things here. It looks like you picked.
Yeah. So a couple of them are earnings related. Francesca's Holdings, which is a retail specialty clothing kind of thing. And they've just been, if you look at Aeropostale recently, I think on its recent earnings was down 50%. That stock is in the gutter to begin with. It looks like it's going out of business, but we've had some hit or miss with like American Eagles and a few other ones, but Francesca's has been riding up very nicely recently. They're coming out with earnings very, very soon. And if consumers
are shorting them.
Consumers have been very finicky in these stocks, and it's a bit of a question right now, but there's a nice big hole underneath if they do fall out of bed. Hmm. Now, a company that I've hated, I got to tell you something, big mistake on this company. Let me just give you a quick confession here. I shorted this company up at about, I think it was, I want to say about $100 some time ago. Restoration Hardware, I thought, was doomed because the prices, if you've ever seen the prices, are ridiculous. Even
I go in there every so often because I like looking at their stuff.
Great stuff, but you can buy knockoffs of the same stuff anywhere, much cheaper.
Yes.
The problem is the prices are out of control.
Although I've never seen a black broom anyplace else.
Well, so that may be something you want to buy. That basically, it doesn't get dirty. So, but I figured, you know what, I looked at the numbers, I looked at the trend, I looked at the stores, the amount that they spend on their actual physical stores are just out of control, and their flagship stores and all that. And again, even though their margins are very good, I said, you know what, I don't know how this is going to play. Well, they came out with their earnings, rather thinly traded, and the stock actually went up to about 112 or something like that. And I said, you know what, we're not going to stick around for this thing. Now it's at 37.
You didn't short it?
Well, we did short it. We got knocked out of it for about a 10% loss or so, and this is about a year and a half ago.
Oh, so now it's at 37.
Yep.
Now you're making the mistake of buying it.
Correct. Exactly. one of the reasons
At least you're consistent with this stock.
Yeah, well, the stock, first of all,
you're on the wrong part of the cycle.
The estimated earnings, I think, are for 18 cents a share. Last year, they were like, I think it was 80 cents or 90 cents a share they made. So I think that the estimates that are coming in are extremely, extremely conservative on this company. And if you look at the stock, it's been basing out the opportunity for a short squeeze here. So I figured, you know what, we'll play this one on the upside. There's definitely a chance for this thing to get squeezed on the upside. And the other one that I have, which I think is a very interesting play, is the Wisdom Tree Japan Hedged Equity Fund. It's an ETF.
I don't have it listed here.
You don't have it listed, but I have it. It's on here. What this is an ETF that invests in Japan, and it hedges out the dollar, meaning if the dollar moves, essentially you get a benefit. You don't get the currency problems involved here. So if Japan moves up or down, you don't have to worry about the yen moving up or down. However, with this, because the way it is hedged, you will actually do better if the dollar moves down, if the yen moves higher. You get a double whammy on this. So the yen has been, in fact, moving higher. It's one of the worst performing currencies.
Yeah, but it's so high now. I mean, how much higher can it go?
No, it goes the other way. In other words, it goes the other way.
Oh, okay.
So the yen's not, in other words, the yen is very weak is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, if the yen moves higher, this is beneficial for this.
So so we're assuming that there is some cycle here, and so the yen can go in the other way.
Right, and of course,
the way it's going now is no good.
Right, and the yen is, the Japanese markets are very sensitive to the yen. So you could possibly do very well. Now, we currently own this and have kind of sitting on a no loss, no gain right now, kind of moved nicely, and then it kind of came back a little bit. So, but we're going to try a short here with the hedged Japan fund. This way we don't, again, have the yen in there. So that's my picks.
Well, I haven't got anything this week. I am tempted to short Restoration Hardware.
Ooh.
Because we haven't done that game before.
We can do that.
But my experience with you and the shorts you pick is it's too risky.
I don't mind
overriding your pick like I did with Southwest Air, which I'm still in, and you seem to have somehow been bounced out of that other airline. That's different than going counter to your pick.
Mm. So you're afraid of me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm afraid because you've got the short squeeze theory, which does happen. But the stocks does seem a little inflated to me. I mean, especially since it was at 100 something. But I'm going to shy away. And then I don't have anything other than that.
Twitter, not a good idea. They're thinking about Twitter?
Well, it's a good thing. We've done Twitter a number of times on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think Twitter, it just hasn't moved in a while. And just any incremental news can be beneficial. And the whole, I don't know. I was thinking about putting Twitter on here.
You think going long Twitter?
Yeah. What worse? How worse can it get with Twitter?
What's the price of it? Let me go look.
It's like 16 and change.
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean? What's the worst that can happen?
I can go to 8, I guess.
I could go to 8. I could go to 4.
Yeah.
I've always said it was a 50-cent stock, although they do have earnings. I think. Do they?
Yeah. They definitely do. They're just not growing as much as they have. They don't have as much monthly active user growth. Facebook is just eating their lunch, which I still don't.
What's the PE on this? I'm not there at this.
Let's see. It must have come down. I mean, obviously from where it was, but let's take a look. Twitter's current PE is coming up in a moment. If the internet wants to agree here, PE is. It doesn't say. Why is it a nothing? Why is there no PE on my thing here?
Okay.
Yahoo Finance. It'll go somewhere
else. What is the symbol on that?
TWTR. I also find that Twitter works well when there's crisis around the world.
That's actually a good idea. That's a good, that's,
yeah. P is NA on here too. Oh, EPS, oh, they have a loss of earnings. Their earnings are a loss. Uh-huh. They have revenue, no earnings. That's the point.
They have revenue, but no earnings.
Yeah.
How can, that's at this point in its career, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Their revenue is,
even Amazon has earnings.
Earnings date is April 26, approximately. No dividend, volume. 1 year's target estimate is $20 on average by the analysts. 1686 is currently trading at. 52-week range is 1391 to 53.
Well, the 5-year expected PEG is at 0.64, which is a good number. But it's also a number that says nobody likes the stock.
But that also says that how do they get that if they don't have earnings?
Well, yeah, how do you get that if you don't have earnings?
I have no idea. That
doesn't make sense. Well, somebody's predicting there's going to be earnings, I guess, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
It's kind of a stretch.
And everybody hates Twitter also.
Do they? I'm going to short Twitter then because I think...
Wow.
I'd just soon get bounced out. I think that Twitter, because if they do anything one way or the other, if they don't expand to 144 characters, or if they expand it, both are going to be bad for the company.
And your thesis is 50-cent stock. Right?
Yeah, that's what I've always said.
Yeah, so you're going to short it here. We'll get this in here. Twitter short is in there. Okay, you're good. Good to go. Good to go.
And I will short it again if I fail on this round.
Priceline's another one to look at, by the way, just as a point of reference. I was thinking about Priceline and some of the other travel companies. But, anytime there's any kind of
What's Priceline's symbol?
PCLN. This is a pricey one.
Yeah.
PCLN. Down 2% today, $1,350.
$1,500 for one share.
Mm-hmm. PE is 26. Not terrible, actually, for what it is. And you got Expedia, you got TripAdvisor, you know, you got all those guys, too.
I tried using Priceline once, and the experience was so miserable, I never used it again.
I can't do it either. I mean, and I travel quite frequently. I can't do it. I've tried. I can't. I think I've used it once, but I always feel, I don't know, I guess it's different now than it was, where you're kind of stuck with what you got. It's kind of like buying a movie it's buying a ticket in a theater, and you have no idea where you're sitting.
You end up having to watch something you don't want to see.
Right, or sitting behind a pole somewhere.
Huh.
Well, we'll leave it that way. Let's think about something for next week and not make any short-sighted moves in this all-important game.
It's an all-important game.
All right, well, next week is going to be, let's think about this here, Tuesday. It's going to be the last week of March.
Next week is, last week of March.
Last week of March. And, you know what I found interesting this year? I mean, I don't know, maybe this is bad. Maybe this is a bad thing I'm thinking about. I got less Facebook birthdays than I've gotten in previous years. You know, the Facebook happy birthday things. So I'm wondering, less people like me possibly. But also, maybe people are not doing that as much.
I think it would be the latter, or even Facebook's not even reminding them right.
Oh, it's possible. I mean, I got a bunch. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, I get most of my reminders from Plaxo or whatever that stupid thing is. I haven't used it for years.
Yeah, I get stuff. I get things all over the place, you know, and this birthday, this, I don't know. I'm like, how do I even get to my Google Calendar? I have no idea how it gets there. I turn off the birthday, click the button. So.
So your feelings were hurt? Did you see, I sent you a happy birthday.
Yes. No, my feelings were not hurt at all. No, I sent you
a happy birthday on Twitter.
Yes, I saw that.
I thought that was the most personal. That's a very, you know, I think a very close thing. We'd work together. So I went out of my way to say happy birthday on Twitter.
And you're shorting the stock.
Yeah, you'd think I would be going long, but.
Well, I appreciate it. And thank you for everybody else that did. I got a lot of emails in. That was very nice. And I got a lot of action on Twitter. Maybe that's where it all went to.
You got a lot of action on Twitter, people saying happy birthday.
Yeah, they did. Some people even
said. Do you feel obliged to say thanks to each and every one of them?
I didn't feel obliged. Every once in a while, I'd thanks. And I'd like all of them, though. I pushed the favorite button on all of them.
Well, you can always do it. Thanks to all who wished me a happy birthday, just a standalone tweet.
Right. But, you know, if you retweet them and all that, and some people don't have a lot of followers, and you retweet it, then what happens is that they maybe get some more followers. Helps them out.
Yeah.
You know? As a matter of fact, you can follow the Twitter feeds of John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak and myself, Andrew Horowitz. Let's make this a Twitter-friendly week. And if you want John to, well, drop off of Twitter, actually. Close your account entirely if you want John Short to work out well. But if you want to go against him, actually, you should start following us. And making sure all your friends follow us. So you should send a tweet to all your friends right now to tell them to follow both of us on Twitter to bring up our Twitter numbers. And if not, everybody should just drop off of Twitter entirely, depending on how you want it to play out.
I don't think they just let you drop off that easy.
Wait, what? You can't just close an account?
I don't know that you can. I see a lot of dead accounts. Nobody's ever closed them.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
All right, until next week. I'll see you soon.
Talk to you then.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.